Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
Our message series is Empowered Together, and we're going to keep doing this, okay? We're going to keep going through this. And I want to start by telling a story, and it's a story that has been repeated way too many times, of a family where this family came into money. And what happened when they did is the family became divided. There was one story that I know of, and I'm not going to mention any names or make implications about who they are, because it's a true story, where the mom came into money, and she had been divorced, and she actually bought her children houses because she just came into that much money. And one of her sons ended up suing her because the house was not good enough. And it's crazy when you hear not just the implications of what money does to people, but how families are ripped apart. And it's in that context that I want to talk about the book of Corinthians now. So we've been doing this message series on spiritual gifts. And last week we talked about Luke. We talked about Luke's perspective, which is a different perspective than Paul's. I mentioned in passing last week that Paul's overarching concern is the witness of the church in the world to Jesus as Messiah and Lord. And his concern was that the church would be a united and holy family. And so it's in that context that he's writing some of the stuff he's going to be writing that we're going to look at today. So 2 weeks ago, Pastor Claudette spoke, and she talked about this gift list, these spiritual gifts that God has for us to build his church. Remember, Luke's perspective is that spirit empowerment is for the mission to go forward. That's how the church is being the witness, this testimony. But Paul's perspective is for the church to be a united and holy family. And Paul or Claudette had this gift list. I was going to rip it off and put it in the slides, but I didn't, because we're going to come back to it next week and the week after. But the gift list comes primarily from Romans, Ephesians, and 1 Corinthians, these letters that Paul is writing to these early churches to build them up, to correct them where necessary, to encourage them so they could fulfill the mission that what God has called them all to. But the biggest treatment of that is in 1 Corinthians. And Claudette talked about that last week. So what I want to do is look at 1 Corinthians. The primary part of the gift is in 12, 13, and 14. Claudette mentioned last time that 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. It's the one that's read at weddings. But the context of it is spiritual gifts. In 12, he talks about what they are. In 13, he says, here's how you do it. We operate in love. And then in the next chapter, 14, he says, here's how it works out in your assemblies. So he's actually addressing a concern that he's been sent to him. 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us. Now, that's the New Living Translation that we use here. But these special abilities, these spiritual gifts. Now, in that context, that was far more spiritually open and expressive than we are today. These expressions, these spiritual gifts, were not unusual. You would see them expressed in many different contexts, even pagan contexts, where there were ecstatic speeches and utterances and speaking in tongues and oracles and prophecy. And so the assumption was that the way it happened out there was the same way it happened in here, in this family. And Paul is saying this is not true. And I'll explain why that's the case. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, he says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So a more traditional translation might say to edify ourselves or to build ourselves up. The idea is to build the body of Christ, the church, the local church and the universal church, to maturity, to be that witness to Jesus, the Messiah and Lord, united and holy. Now, you might look at this and say, okay, well, Paul is writing this to Corinth, to this church in Corinth. He writes a little smattering to Ephesus, which was actually not really to Ephesus. It was more of a circular letter. He writes a smattering to the church in Rome that he doesn't even really know. But he writes nothing to Colossae or Philippi. And maybe these spiritual gifts were not as universal as we think. Maybe it was just there. And I'm going to argue against that. So I'd like you to imagine a local church that is having a board meeting because there's a huge controversy about whether to use hand towels or hand dryers in the bathroom, okay? And it becomes a fight, and the church becomes divided. Like, you know, don't laugh. Churches have fought over stupider things. Now, because it's a controversy in one place doesn't mean that every other church isn't washing their hands. It's only a controversy here because they're fighting about it. it doesn't seem to be a fight in the other churches, so it's just a good assumption is that it's all being done properly somewhere else. But in the Corinthian context, what was going on, and this is what they brought in from their pagan culture, it's easy to criticize. We all bring our values in with us from our surrounding culture, and sometimes they need to be addressed. But because they had known these gifts, they had experienced them, they were doing it the same way. And what they were doing is they were using the gifts the Holy Spirit gave to the church to compete with one another, to out-spiritualize one another, to, I'm more spiritual than you, so I'm going to prophesy over you or loudly or all at the same time or speak in tongues and just show everybody exactly how spiritual I am as if it's a badge of accomplishment. And then if you didn't have maybe a particular gift, you were almost perceived to be a second-class citizen. And so that's one of the big things that Paul is addressing throughout the letter in different areas. The church is supposed to be a united family. So the challenge, too, is that anything legitimate can be counterfeited. It's one reason why almost immediately after that, Paul says, nobody outside of the Spirit of God can say that Jesus is Lord. And it's not just about saying the words, but living out that witness. My life is committed to Jesus as my Savior, Lord, and Messiah, God's chosen one. And so that is the marker more than a spiritual gift or a set of spiritual gifts, is Jesus Lord in our life? And so Paul is coming at them and saying, you're going about this the wrong way. Here's how to do it. So, 1 Corinthians 12:7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. And then in verse 8 and following, he lists some of them. I'd like to say some of them, because most scholars would believe that the list is not exhaustive. And again, Claudette already talked about this. I'm not going to go through the list again. We are going to address this again over the next couple of weeks. But in Corinthians 12, verses 12 and following, there's a section in there, a chapter, where he describes the church as a body, that every part is needed. And he's saying that we need to be interdependent. No one can do it on his own. Nobody is so spiritual he doesn't need other people. And so the gifts are diverse because that's what represents the body of Christ. They were a body, but not just a body. It was a common metaphor in the culture of that day. There were a lot of authors saying, a particular group or association or city or whatever, they would use the body as a metaphor for that. But Jesus is saying, and you have to hear this, you are the body of Christ. So not just a group of people that we're using the body as a metaphor for, but you are the body of Christ, gifted and diverse, interdependent and collaborative. So Paul's perspective on the purpose of the gifts is the maturity and whole functioning of the body. And again, more than metaphor. John 14:12, now I apologize, I'm leaving Paul for a second, but Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, he's implying after he goes, he says, greater things will you do. And he's talking about all the amazing things that he did. We're going to do greater things. How? How is that possible? When Jesus was on earth, he had a physical body, but he had limited his godhood to a physical human presence on earth, and everything he did was by the empowerment of the Spirit. Now, we have that potential to be the body of Christ, empowered by the Spirit of Christ. Without a Spirit, my body would be dead. It would be inanimate matter. I mean, you can't just construct a physical body and expect it to have life. That life, that breath, that Spirit, that's what makes us who we are. And so without the active empowerment of the Spirit, diversely and collaboratively throughout the body of Christ, the church might as well be a country club. Yeah, we might have strong relationships and we might support one another and all of that, but the body of Christ is supposed to be empowered by the Spirit of Christ. What's true of each one of us individually is also true of us collectively. And this happens through the functioning of these spiritual gifts. That's why we've been given them, and that's why they're essential. We have four people on our pastoral staff, myself and Wade and Claudette and Mariah. And sometimes people have the expectation that the pastors are the ones that get things done. I had a pastor in my teen years, and he used to say this fairly regularly. He says, when you go to a basketball game, you're watching, what do you have, like five people on a team? Maybe I should go hockey. One, two, three, four, five, six. So you have 12 people on the ice, desperately in need of rest, being watched by 18,000, desperately in need of exercise. And too often the church behaves that way, where we expect this small particular group to do the work. There's something called the 80-20 principle, where 20% of the people do 80% of the work in any organization, and that's not the way it's supposed to be in the body of Christ. It's, God gives gifts to all the people, not just a few. And so among our pastoral staff, we have limited gifts. We have limited spiritual gifts. When Pastor Claudette spoke 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, she mentioned that, you know, she had the gift of giving and serving and I think administration or something like that as a spiritual gift. Okay, we're talking beyond natural talent, beyond learned ability. And she perceived that to be her spiritual gifts. And so among the four of us, I'm pretty sure we don't run the gamut, that we're covering all the bases. And so for the church to be healthy, we need all the gifts in operation, which means that we need all the people to be operating in their gifts. Claudette said the same thing a couple of weeks ago. Unbalanced is unhealthy. If you were to work out just one side of your body and ignore the other side of your body, you're going to walk with a limp. And when we as Crossings Church are missing gifts being activated, we're walking with a limp. We need to have everybody using their gifts interdependently and diversely for the body to function as it should. For us to go, say, from third gear to fourth gear. Many years ago, I think it's okay to tell the story because I think there's a statute of limitations on this, but my wife, Michelle, when she was in high school, she was at home one day. I believe she was 15 years old, and her parents were both out, and she didn't feel like walking to school. And the car was left at home. So she found the keys and took the car to school so she wouldn't have to take the bus or walk or whatever. So she takes the car to school. Well, now that you have the car at school, you may as well use it. So she piles the car full of friends and drives to McDonald's, and they get lunch through the drive-thru. And she was coming out through the drive-thru, and I think she almost like hit some old man or something like that. And he yelled at her, and he said, "You shouldn't have your license." And she rolled down her window and said, "I don't," and then went back to school. And I mean, cars are dangerous. This is why we license people. Okay, this is why we expect people to go through a test. But if you were to say they're dangerous, they're powerful, so let's eliminate them. The irony is that that's what many churches have done. Some denominations have done. We're going to eliminate these because they're dangerous. Or I think sometimes there's a theological justification to justify that choice. But because bad things have happened in the past, because people have abused, you eliminate it completely. Well, that's not the right thing to do. The right thing to do is train people to use them properly. They're powerful, otherwise why would they exist? Power uncontrolled is dangerous. I remember in the mid-2000s, there was a pastor, and I didn't really know much about him, but he was, I don't know, he was a megachurch pastor in the States or something. I'm not gonna name a name, but he had a church of thousands and thousands and thousands. And he and the church were active in spiritual gifts. And it came out, there was a major scandal where he was preying sexually on young men. And you think, how can that happen? How can somebody who was empowered by the Spirit do that? Well, because we've made an inappropriate connection between a gift given by God and how we grow and develop towards maturity. And I'm relying on Pastor John Thompson for this next section from Sanctus Church. It used to be called C4 in Ajax. And he says this. He says, gifts are how we serve individually. Disciplines are how we grow individually. And the danger is that we use gifts without discipline. The danger is that we use gifts without growth and maturity. So discipline builds character. The typical ones, we've talked about spiritual disciplines before, and I'm going to talk about them again at the end, but things like Bible reading, prayer, living in community with one another, serving. We don't talk regularly about things like fasting or meditation, but how we grow spiritually, how we develop our own character is through disciplines. You don't develop character through disciplines. So, but we also need to have the full scope of it. So why spiritual gifts? A spiritual gift is a necessary part of our Christian life. The Spirit gives us, so that becomes our sweet spot. It becomes our specialty as part of the diverse body of Christ. But that doesn't mean that we're absolved from the disciplines. So I'll tell you a story, and this is a story that it's not mine, it's one of our pastors in church at Crossings here. And when they were younger, they were part of a ministry team. And they were working for a pastor who was in charge of the ministry team. And they would go into a location, and the pastor in charge would say, "So my gift is worship. My gift is leading worship. I don't have a gift of serving." So the rest of the people, the part of the team, would all set up the stuff. And then he would come in and swoop in and do the worship. It doesn't work that way. So if you don't have a gift of serving, it doesn't mean you don't have to serve. Everyone is called to serve. If you find it difficult, you know what we call that? Call that a discipline. So I remember I was embarrassed one time because we had years ago when we had John Binder on staff, and somebody came in the office, and somebody on staff came in and said, there's a toilet plugged in the men's bathroom. So my spiritual gift is procrastination. So I was sitting at my desk going, oh, I gotta fix that. To be a leader, I have to lead the way and not be willing to avoid getting my hands dirty. I mean, I'd wear gloves, you know. But so I procrastinated and finally thought, I gotta go clear that toilet. I gotta lead the way and serve by example. And I was going out and I said, does anybody know where the plunger is or something like that? And John Binder said, oh, I already cleared the toilet. And I honestly was embarrassed that he beat me to it. Because I don't want to be one of those guys that says, oh, I don't have the spiritual gift of serving, so I'm just not going to do it. That's not the way it works. So it's the same as giving. So giving is a spiritual gift. Doesn't mean nobody else needs to give. It means that maybe if you don't have that gift, you give as a discipline. There's still joy in that and all of that. But maybe that's not the thing that sparks you the way a different spiritual gift that you actually have does. We're all still called to live generously and to give. Discernment. Discernment is a spiritual gift, but that doesn't mean that we live without discernment, that we just make stupid choices, or that we don't pay attention to the spiritual reality behind what's going on, because that's really kind of what discernment means. We're going to go over this next week. We need to be discerning, even if we don't have the gift, that might be a discipline. Evangelization. I think of in the book of one of the Timothys, where Paul, at the beginning, he says, spark the gift, fan the flame of the gift that you received when hands were laid on you and you were prayed for. But later on, he says, do the work of an evangelist. He doesn't say, Timothy, hey, you're an evangelist. He says, do the work of an evangelist. And the implication is that Timothy is not, but you still have to do that work, and it might be a discipline. So we're all called to grow in all the areas. We're all called to be disciplined to grow our character. When it comes to what's easy for you, it's like the sweet spot on a baseball bat or a golf club. That's a gift. And while lack of character makes gifts dangerous, and it does. If you don't have character and you're operating in a spiritual gift, some of the gifts can be deadly, but solid character legitimates your gift. When we see somebody like Brenda on a Sunday morning come and share her gift of prophecy that God has given us, you look at her and you go, we know she has character. She is solid. She's established. She's proven herself. Same thing with Edna. And most of the people that come and share prophecy on a Sunday morning, we have walked with them and seen them grow in character so that we don't have to be concerned that they're operating their gifts out of control or immaturely. We need to be building our character. That's the foundation. The gifts are given. They're given by God. And as much as we need to practice them or grow in them, they're not natural, they're not learned abilities. Claudette talked about this. But when we become followers of Jesus, he plants his spirit in us, and that opens the door, the potential for the gifts of the spirit to work through us. And that's brought into possibility. Now, what about abilities we have that are natural or maybe even supernatural, okay, that predate our trust, our faith in Jesus, our allegiance to Jesus? See, because you might be a gifted public speaker, or you might be a teacher. Maybe you went you got an undergrad, you went to teacher's college, and you work as a teacher. You say, I can teach. Maybe you're even really good at it. But if you were a teacher before you became a follower of Jesus, that's not necessarily a spiritual gift, something you're good at. And so what do you do with that? There's two things. Well, it's actually the same thing, but in two things. If you have a natural ability, a natural talent, a natural gift, you need to surrender that to Jesus. What that means is you need to let him use your natural talents, abilities as he sees fit. Now, I've heard of cases where God has asked people to stop using it for whatever reason, because sometimes what happens is we can rely on our natural gifts and abilities or our trained abilities, and we take credit for what God wants to do, or we actually get in the way with what God wants to do. But there's a whole other dimension to that. There are people that, before they're a follower of Jesus, maybe they get premonitions or visions or a sense of the ability to know what other people are thinking, and it's almost like this supernatural thing, and maybe you believe in that, maybe you don't. if that was something that you've experienced before you were a follower of Jesus, that could very well, it's likely a counterfeit, because anything that God allows us to do through spiritual gifts can be counterfeited by the enemy, and that's very, very dangerous. So you need to submit that to God. I heard a story of somebody who was in ministry, and they were getting teaching on this stuff, and they said, yeah, but I've been able to tell what's going to happen in the future, and it never occurred to them that it wasn't from God, and it was from before they were a follower of Jesus. And so the person teaching led them through a prayer to say, are you going to submit this to God and ask him to take it away if it's not his? Because if it's not his, it's poisonous. And because he was willing to do it. And the next time he saw him, he says, I'm blind. I can't see anymore. See, he was relying on something that was not from God. And that's very, very, very dangerous to be dabbling in that stuff. So we have to be very careful to take our natural abilities and talents, the things that we're good at, if they predate our trust in Jesus, we have to submit them to Jesus, say, what are you going to do with this? I'm going to let you do what you want with it. And if it's not from you, if it's not in your intention and purpose, take it away. So what do we do with this? It's 2020. We're broadcasting from our location here. Our church is scattered around the area and maybe farther. And we need to recognize that God's gifts are good. They are for his church, his body, to grow in maturity, to grow, to be effective in service, to be that witness that Jesus is Messiah and Lord in holiness and unity. And so for you as an individual, you might be asking the question, and I know it's been asked, what is my spiritual gift? This is what we're going to deal with over the next couple of weeks. We're going to go through the whole list and say, here are the indicators, here are the warnings, and I don't know, it's going to be kind of fun. But I do want to leave with three warnings, okay? And these are the warnings that come from Paul. The first one is watch out for competition. We are called to work interdependently, not to strive to out-spiritualize somebody else. I know somebody quite a lot of years ago who had a gift of prophecy, and they would give it at Crossland's Church, but it would be without any kind of submission or interdependence whatsoever. And so it would be in the middle of worship, and they would yell out. And if you've been in our service, you know we ask people to come to the front so we can legitimate it, we can give them a microphone, we can explain what's going on. And they were asked to do that, and they said, no, I can't do that. When it comes, it comes. And so they were asked, well, what about accountability? They said, well, I'm not accountable to the pastor. The pastor's accountable to me because I'm a prophet. Okay, that's the out-spiritualizing one another. It doesn't work with like that. We are accountable to one another. Watch out for gift envy, that where you look at somebody else and go, I wish I had that gift, to the point where you are not using the gift that you actually have. That can be deadly as well. So competition is the first thing. Next thing is imbalance. If you are not exercising your gift as God has given you and appointed to you, then your gift might be missing and the church is out of balance. I think there are churches that are out of balance. We might be out of balance. And so part of this message series is a corrective to that. Say, let's get everybody running in the gear they should be in, the gift that God has given them, so that we work together to fulfill the mission we're called to. For the body to be healthy, we all need to discover, activate, and work in the gifts that the Holy Spirit has assigned to us. And then the third warning is watch out for lack of character. We need to grow in character through spiritual disciplines. The daily work of letting the Spirit transform our character as we submit to him. Gifts without spiritual discipline are deadly. We're going to move to text messages, but first, I do want to, if we have somebody watching that has never trusted Jesus with your eternity, with your life, and you want to take that opportunity, you might go, how do I get into this thing? Like, not really sure what you're talking about. I'm seeking. I have maybe an idea what Christianity is. To follow Jesus is as simple as ABC. A stands for admit. Admit your need for him. Your life without God is less than what it could be. And I mean it, like an infinity less. We were designed to live in relationship with our Creator who created us to love us. So to admit, I'm not where I should be. I'm not where I want to be. B stands for believe. Believe that God has something better for you. There's an element in there that to whatever extent you understand, through Jesus' death and resurrection, relationship with God is now possible. And then C is commit. Commit to him. So that means trusting him fully with every part of your life. Now, if you want to do that, if you feel you need to do that, I would recommend you go onto crosslands.live. It's our sort of our access point. and click the Follow Jesus button, and we will help you in your spiritual journey, because it's a start to a whole new journey that cannot be lived alone. It's one reason why the church exists. We walk together as followers of Jesus. We encourage one another, we help each other, and again, part of the reason why the spiritual gifts exist. Now, I do have some final thoughts, but I'm gonna see if we have text messages. I got a few. Thanks for doing this, you guys. Must be nice to sit and do the message, huh? Yeah, I guess I can do that on stage too, but I always worry that I put people to sleep because the chairs are too comfortable if I sit down. Oh my word. That's for my wife. Probably because I told that driving story. I don't know if I'll be going home after this. There's a long one. Encouragement to discipline growth. For this very reason. So somebody's sharing a scripture from 2 Peter 1, 5 and following, which is great. I'm going to read it. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the last thing we want, is to be ineffective and unproductive. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. 2 Peter 5, 1 verse 5 and the following. Yeah, thanks for that. That's great. That's all we got. Anything on the YouTube chat, Wade?
One question came in. Are there any other warnings?
Are there any other warnings? Wow, put me on the spot. We are going to, there are actually, yes. But there's kind of a warning for each gift. So what we're going to do over the next 2 weeks is we kind of go through the whole inventory. We're going to talk about, so if you feel this is your spiritual gift, then watch out for this. Or you feel that's your spiritual gift, then watch out for that. And if something, I hate to say I covered all the bases, because there could always be more. But that's what we're going to do over the next couple weeks. And hopefully that fills in the blanks there. Oh, there's a nice text message. We love you, Fred. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 on your right hand, which I hope doesn't happen, but it will not come near you. And I have a number, but not a name for that one. Thank you. Appreciate that. So here's sort of final words, and by final words, it's not going to be short, okay? It's not going to be that long. If you got to leave, I won't know. So we're in a time of crisis right now. We're in a time of unknown. And it's in times like this, especially when a lot of your default options are not available, that people sit down and evaluate and try to make sense of what really matters. People in these times ask the big questions. And so there's a lot of people, maybe you're watching right now and you're going, I'm not sure what I'm gonna do for the next 3 weeks with the kids at home. I mean, let's be honest, there's only so much Netflix you can watch. So I want us as a church to look at this as an opportunity. Okay, if you're working at home with the kids, you maybe plan a trip to the zoo for March break, zoo's closed. Maybe you're gonna go to Disneyland, Disneyland's closed. You have no place to go, you don't want your kids in front of the tube. And maybe, this is what I find in our culture, we run busy all the time. And when we have conversations here at Crossings Church about engagement with God, about engagement with one another, usually one of the biggest things we hear is people say, I'm too busy. NHL is canceled, NBA is canceled, MLB is canceled. You're at home, you are not going to be anywhere near as busy, probably, as you were in your normal area of life or your normal time of life. Don't waste this opportunity. So I want you to think about all the things that you might normally consider yourself too busy for, and I mean this both individually and as families. Take some time to read scripture. If you're working from home and you normally commute, you're just saving yourself all that commute time there and back. Read scripture, get into it, ask God to speak to you, be open to what he's saying. Spend time in prayer. And I don't just mean talking to God, but letting God talk to you. Journal your conversations with God. Get a notebook and write this stuff down. What's he speaking to you? You can have conversations with friends and family about what you feel he's speaking to you and evaluate that. Take your kids through all of this stuff. Take them through scripture. I would recommend not using like a King James thee and thou, where they're not going to understand it. It's one reason why we use the New Living Translation here. It's fairly easy to understand, but read with them, pray with them, teach them to read scripture, teach them to pray, Teach them to hear God's voice. And then finally, I want to challenge all of us as a church to ask God for and look for opportunities to serve. Now that everything comes to a grinding halt, look around and say, who are the people that might be falling through the cracks? Who are the people that maybe God is calling us to help as a family or as an individual? We have such an opportunity right now to really, really lean in to what God is saying to each one of us individually, to each of our families, and say, okay, where do we go from here at your direction? We're going to close the service, but typically what we do on a Sunday morning when we're on site is we offer Theater One as a prayer room. And right now I'm going to offer to you your location, wherever you are, as your prayer room, whether it's your living room or if you're in a coffee shop or whatever. If you're watching where you are, I want to encourage you to take some time and engage with God. We are talking about spiritual gifts. Maybe you've been challenged on an area of discipline this morning. Maybe you're challenged on an area of involvement according to how you know you've been gifted. Maybe you're being challenged in an area of how you're responding to COVID-19. Are you panicked? Do you need reassurance from God? Do you need to start looking around to the people around you and say, okay, how do I go from self-absorption and self-protection to help of other people? I would encourage you to spend some time right now in prayer with God. And we're going to put some music on. The feed's going to go for another few minutes. And so I'm going to close in prayer now, but I would encourage you to continue to pray, whether you're by yourself or with your family, and ask some of those questions. Allow God to fill your heart and fill your mind with His truth and with what He's challenging you to or what He's encouraging you for. So, Father, I thank you so much that regardless of the situation that seems so out of control, nothing is out of your control. I thank you that you have called us to be your family, and even though we're separated by distance, we are still family together. Father, I pray for those who are alone, that you would fill their space with your Spirit, fill their space with a sense of connection with the greater body. For those who are under serious threat of illness, I ask for your protection. For those of us who are facing 3 weeks or more of the unknown with our kids or not sure what's going on with work, Father, I pray that you would help us to lean into what you are saying, to what you are doing in our lives. And Father, I pray that as the world shuts down, your church would move forward, and that all the things that you have planned and all the intentions that you have for us and for our community would be brought to fruition as we choose to partner with you in hope and expectation and great and gratitude. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us today. Spend some time in prayer, and then we will be back online next week at 11:15.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.